It's always a joy and a privilege to be here, and I'm so glad that you pressed your way to be in the house of the Lord. What a great place to be in on a Sunday morning. First of all, I would like to say a special thank you to Pastor David and Angela and the council once again for allowing me to share the Word of God with you. And I believe there is a word in my heart that I want to drop in your spirit this morning, and I'm sure you're going to be blessed. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you this morning, knowing that you are in charge of everything. Lord, I lack myself here on this podium. And I pray, Lord, that you will use me. Help preaching, O Father, to be easy this morning. And I pray, God, that your people, O Father, will be receptive to hear your word. Pray, God, that life will change. It will never be the same again through your anointing. In Jesus' name. Amen. For the past month, I've been in New York. Many of you know I was in New York City, and I didn't really go to preach. I went there to visit my sister and my brother-in-law that is sick. He's taking dialysis. But a couple of doors opened for me, so I got a chance to preach in a couple of churches, and I actually sit with some pastors in different types of meeting. And where I find myself continually, consistently, hearing the same message in my life, that I kind of undergirded all the message I ever preach. All the message I've ever preached, I'm hearing one word, and that one word is to trust God. Trust God. In the midst of everything, to trust God. And songs like, that is the simplest message, probably the hardest thing that you can do when it gets rough in your life and tough, learning how to trust God. And here is some word from the pen of the Apostle Paul as he pens his letter to Christian in Philippi in the New Testament book called Philippians. If you would journey with me this morning to the fourth chapter, you would find verse 6 and verse number 7. These are the word that is quite familiar. You study it, you meditate on it, and you practice it. Here is the word from the Apostle Paul. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And as we continue this vein of trusting God, I want to talk to you from this subject, the peace of God. The peace of God. Some of you might have heard about my testimony, my personal testimony, that I am a proud healer. And I got to say, to God be the glory. Recover from 5 surgery. My first year, 2017, when I felt the Lord really tugging me and poking me and calling me to preach this gospel. And I was exposed with some great medical doctors that confirmed the awesome, created, omnipotent ability of God. In that first year, I learned about healing and witnessed something I have never seen before, and that how awesome God is. Was in that first year in the hospital, I have learned one of the beauty and mystery of life is how God has created and shaped the human body with the inner instinct ability to heal itself. One of the great wonders of life is how God has made us in such a way that under the right condition, your body will naturally heals itself. Your body is able to identify foreign matter and waste and promptly, quickly eliminate them.
when you gotta cut proteins and platelets or rush to the injury site, that your blood may not coagulate and prevent you from bleeding to death. That God had created you in with this great gift that called immune system, that can create specific antibody without the need of having antibiotic, that fight off disease and infection automatically and by its own desire. Your body has created itself to heal. As a matter of fact, there are some physicians will argue with you that medicine don't heal anything. Medicine only treat symptoms. But only the immune system heals the body, and that is a gift from God. I am not a doctor. Many of you know I'm just an ordinary person, but I hang out with a lot of great surgeons and doctors. I've learned, and I suggest to you that one of the great or the reason in our churches that the health and wealth is so critical to help us to get back into that divine created mode of understanding, which John writes in 3 John 2, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. And Jesus declared also, he said in John 10, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you understand, and I haven't lost you this morning, that your body is creatively made by God to heal itself. I suggest then anything that attacks or weakens your body's ability to heal itself must be the result of us allowing him into our lives or into our body, that which is contrary to the plan and to the purpose of God. Paul's rewind, can I press play? If you understand that God created us to heal itself, ourselves, then anything that weakens our body's ability to heal itself must be the result of us allowing into our body or into our lives that which is contrary to the plan and to the design of God. Whether it be bad diet, whether that be a sluggish lifestyle, whether that be drugs or chemical, whether that be lifestyle that leads to disease, if it weakens your body's ability to heal itself, it cannot be a part of God's plan. And I suggest to you, if I still haven't lost you this morning, that one of the greatest enemy in your body's ability to heal itself, it's not simply a disease. One of the greatest enemy in your body's ability to heal itself, it's not a piece of fried chicken thigh. One of the greatest enemy in your body's ability to heal itself, it's an invisible enemy called stress, worries, anxiety. You would be surprised at the damage stress and worries and anxiety does to your body. Tension and muscle ache, stress. Elevated blood pressure, stress. Heart problem, stress. Headaches, migraine, stress. Problems sleeping at night, stress. No patience, fuse is so short, your relationship with others, stress. As a matter of fact, it has been proven that stress cannot be fertilized, but worse than certain condition and disease that are already present in your body. That stress fertilizes the growth of certain cancer in your life. And I can prove it. You want me to tell you how I can prove it? That's why hospitals have visiting hours. Because some of y'all stress folks out. When it's time to go, you gotta go. Because y'all making things worse. I was there, I know. I even had a problem with my neighbor because of that. You gotta go, you still wanna sit and talk. You gotta go, you gotta go. What is not shocking, the fact that some of us live under daily stress all the time. All the time. The American Journal of Psychology suggests 73% of us have something to stress about before 9 a.m. in the morning. And that 43% of adverse health conditions are the result of stress. And that 61% of us fail to get a good night's sleep because we are worried and upset about something. And this will give you 82% of doctors' visit around stress-related ailment. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Don't stress. Don't stress out. Is there anybody in this house this morning wish you never have stress? You wish you never have worry. Well, the next time worry wakes you up at night, the next time stress finds you out in the morning, the next time your heart is racing and your blood pressure is going up, you want to get anxiety, but look around the corner. This is what I got to tell you this morning, what the Apostle Paul says. He says, be anxious for nothing. Be worried about nothing. Be stressed out about nothing. Be upset about nothing. Let me give you the Greek word in that. That Greek word says, Paul says, that word, and that is what is in your Bible. We frequently use that. He says, no one. No one. He says, be anxious for no one. Be upset over no one. Don't let nobody get underneath your skin. Don't let nobody upset your spirit. Don't let nobody steal your joy. Don't let nobody put fear in your heart. Be anxious over nobody. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I ain't studying you. I ain't studying you. I ain't worrying about you. I am upset about you. I hear Paul write these words. Be anxious over no thing or no one. Sometimes I wonder what planet did the Apostle Paul came from? Where did he come from? See, my world gives me something to worry about every day. There is always another bill I have to pay. There is always another issue I have to handle. There is always another threat against me. There is always more enemy rising up. And even every day I have to worry about something. And yet, the Apostle Paul said, be anxious for nothing. At the heart of Paul's argument is this. There is something fundamental wrong with the saints who stressed out. There is something impossible wrong that somebody said that they love God, they trust in God, and worrying about everything. Something didn't add up here. Folks who come to church every single Sunday, carrying your Bible, shout when there is shouting time, give when there is giving time, worship when there is worshiping time. And from Monday to Friday, your blood pressure went up. They can't sleep at night. They're anxious. They're worried. Their patience is short. There is something wrong about you saying you believe in God and you are worrying about every single thing. Paul says, the Apostle Paul, he says, there is a quick formula to deal with your anxiety. There is something you can do to handle this stress. There is a way to perfect peace. That's what the Bible says. You could read it. It's in your Bible. There is a perfect peace. He says, listen, when you're anxious, worried, and stressed out, and life got you to that place, he says this, three things you must do. It's right there in your Bible. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer. But in everything, pray. Touch somebody and tell them you got to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Paul says prayer is critical to keep in calm and stressed out situation. Prayer is critical of finding peace when your heart is filled with worry. As a matter of fact, it is so important that the Apostle Paul put that first on the list. He put it first. He says, whatever you do, pray. I see Paul put that first in the list because he understands that the instinct and the nature of us all is not always pray first. My instinct is to jump on it and handle it myself. My instinct is to pick up the phone and let them have it. My instinct is to think about it, all the things that can go wrong. My instinct is to call my friends and get wise counsel. My instinct is to add up those who are against me and those who is for me and weigh them and see which one is more in my life. My instinct is to fight or flight. And Paul says when you operate in the Lord, your instinct is to pause, stop, and pray. If I have been telling you all the time to read your Bible, I'm going to put a comma. I'll say read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and have a little talk with the Lord. Read your Bible and fall on your knees. Read your Bible and have a little talk with Jesus. Read your Bible and tell him all about your trouble. He will hear your cry. He will answer by and by. He will listen to you. This is how you pray. This is how you seek the Lord. I will pray. I will lock myself in. I don't care Tom, Dick, and Harry. I'm going to make a place and I will pray. The little kid came home one day from school. And he said, Daddy. Daddy said, what? He said, a fireman was at the school today. So what did the fireman teach you? He said, a fireman teach me, if you're ever on fire, stop, drop, and roll. I came here to let somebody know this morning, if all hell is breaking loose in your life, if you feel like you're on fire, I came here to let you know, don't stop, drop, and run. You need to stop, drop, and pray. It will close the lion's mouth. It will open doors that is closed. It will move mountains and destroy giants. Can I give you some good advice? When your back is against the wall, stop, drop, and pray. When life's got you rough, you need to stop, drop, and lift up holy hands. When you don't know what to do, stop, drop, and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, pray. Pray like you never prayed before. Before you get this all wrong, this prayer that Paul is talking about here, he used first. It is not a recommendation to go to God and give him a long laundry list of all the stuff that you need. That's not what he's talking about there. That's not what this prayer means. This prayer that Paul uses here, it's a Greek word that called persuhe. Persuhe is not only for us to pray in, but persuhe is literally means to create a place of prayer where there is no synagogue. He said persuhe is what the Jewish people will use when they found themselves outside of proximity of religion establishment. Their God will show up. Their God will dwell with them. They believe in a God who could show up where they never have God yet. They believe that God will show up when they build a space. I learned one thing in my life. When I'm not in church, when I'm not in the synagogue, when I'm not in the temple, I learned to grab my pillow, and I can put my pillow on the ground, and I can pursue way. I can say, Lord, you know I'm waiting on you. I need you to take care of whatever is going on in my life. I'm going to pursue way. They believe that God could show up wherever they create a space and call on the name of God. And so even in the wilderness, they will pursue him. Even when their enemy is around, they will pursue him. I don't know about you this morning, but I need somebody to understand. There are times, and I know a lot of folks are doing that. There are times you can pursue hay in your car. There is times you can pursue hay in your backyard where there is no temple, where is no synagogue. I don't know about you this morning, but I need to pursue hay. I came to preach to somebody this morning. All that you want from God is to give him them a long list. Lord, fix this, move this, and change this, heal this, and bless this. When God is saying, when are you going to grow up to the place to say, God, I don't need to give you a list anymore. I need your presence. I just need to know that you are with me in this thing. I need to know that you got my back. I need to know that I am not alone. You are with me. That's how you pray. When you pray, you are seeking God present, that he will show up. Hallelujah. Pursue. I love pursue. I don't know if anybody like to pursue. To make a place wherever you're at. Create a place knowing that God's presence is going to show up there. Paul says, if you want to find peace, not only you must pray all things, but by prayer and supplication. Touch somebody and tell them, supplication. That word means to ask. To ask. It's what Paul goes on to say later on. He says, and let your request be made known to God. This is what he says. Pray and ask him for what you need. Pray and tell him what you want. This is so amazing that Paul used this word supplication, that I can make a request. God, I know, God, that you are busy. I know that you have to take care of the galaxy. I know that you have to make sure that the star is in the right place and the moon is in the right spot and the sun have to be in the right location. I know all of that, but I understand Psalm 8. The Bible tells us in verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which are thou ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of? The son of man that who's visited him. I can ask. You know, there are times you can ask somebody for $10,000. They don't got $10. You're not going to get $10,000. But I'm so glad. He said, come unto me, all of you who are labor and heavy laden. Ask. And he's going to give it to you. Not only that you can ask him and he cares. There's a lot of folks, you can ask them. They'll say, I'll pray for you. I'm going to keep you in my prayer, Brother Seth. God bless you. But they're not able. Oh, my God is able. Oh, this morning, my God is able. He's not only able, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask, think, and imagine. That is the God I'm talking about. He said, come and ask. Come with no money. Come with no price. Come with no grocery. Come to me, all of you, and I'm going to give it to you. Let me give you a side or a scripture on that. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Oh, I feel that myself. You're sitting around sick because you never asked him for healing. You're sitting around broke because you never asked him for deliverance. You're sitting around lonely because you never asked him for joy. Ask and it will be given unto you. Oh, he said everything. Prayer, supplication. Now watch this. With thanksgiving. He said thanksgiving is going to make it a whole lot better. Thanksgiving, I know you supplicate, prayer is good, but it's better with thanksgiving. Supplication is good, but it's better with thanksgiving. You know, what is thanksgiving like around the believers? It's like hot sauce. Pepper sauce. Everything is better with hot sauce. Everything is better. Some fried chicken. I'm going to put some of the hot sauce. Some sancocho. Woo. some curry, some doubles. Woo! I got to get some hot sauce on that. He said it's going to be a lot better with Thanksgiving. I don't know about you this morning, church, but I came here to let you know that I'm going to add some past Thanksgiving to the Lord. 2009, 2017, 2018, yesterday, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fear. I will bless him in the morning. I will bless him at noontime. I'm going to bless him when I'm going to bed. I'm going to praise him with a cymbal. I'm going to praise him with a piano. I'm going to let everything that have breath praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say Thanksgiving. It is never too late to give thanks. It is never too early to give thanks. Paul says, pray, supplicate, and give thanks. And watch the end results. And he says, when you add prayer to supplication and thanksgiving, the end result is the peace of God. Woo. Woo. The end result is the peace of God. In church this morning, this peace is not of man. This peace is not of some zeros in the bank. This is not the peace you can find in the arm of a lover. This is not the peace that located in a bottle of rum. And this peace is the peace that Jesus says, be still, peace, be still. This is the peace that allowed Daniel to lie down in the lion's den. This is the peace that allows Peter to stand in the courtroom of Agrippa, believing God was already there. This is the peace that allows Esther to go into the king's, declaring, if I perish, I perish. This is the peace that held Job together when life has stripped him of everything. This is the peace that allows me to stand here this morning with legs in my feet and backbone in my back, that I can lift up holy hands and I can say, Lord, I thank you for delivering me. I thank you for taking me out from Brooklyn situation. I thank you that I'm no longer in that street. I thank you this morning, this peace that surpasseth all understanding. This is the peace that I have backbone in my back this morning. Believing God, he is able. He says, and this peace will guard your heart and mind. This guard is a guard that the Bible uses that talks about a fence. I want to encourage anybody here that ever see fences with August Wilson. In the early 50s, it was heavy racism. He wrote the drama called Fences. If you ever got it on my recommendation, I want you to go and see it. See it. But I'm not going to tell you the whole story. After Troy was no more in the scene, his wife, Rose, after the fence was up, this is what Rose says. He says, some fence are meant to keep things outside. And some fence are meant to keep things in. He says, this fence is not only going to keep the evil out, but this fence is going to keep the good inside. I don't know about you, but I feel that. That's why I can stand here this morning. there is something inside of me that the Lord keep. Because I know when I read the Bible, he says, I'm going to build a hedge around you. When I read the Bible, I see God says that, oh, I am the good shepherd and I keep my sheep in the pen, that no weapon that form against you will able to prosper. Every word that rise up against you will be condemned. I can stand here knowing that I have the assurance that there is a fence, there is a hedge that is built around me. And this fence is only through Jesus Christ. He says he will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. And I'm done this morning. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they will comfort me. Thou wilt prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. He will anoint my head with oil. My cup will run over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Give the Lord some praise in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand all over this place here this morning. Oh, I feel God in this house this morning. Give him praise, church. Give him praise. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all glory. He is worthy of all honor. Oh, he is able this morning. He is able to touch you. He is able to deliver you from worries. He is able to deliver you from anxiety. He is able to deliver for you from whatever you're going on, what's going on in your life today, from any circumstances. He is able. Hallelujah. I want you to lock yourself in this morning with the Lord, because he is our hiding place. As we sing this song, I want you to lift your hands up. And if you feel like getting prayer this morning, you feel like you have worries, anxiety, you're stressed out, whatever is going on, I want you to come down to this altar. I believe today is your day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, we will rejoice and be glad. You are my hiding place. Oh, yes.
You are my hiding.
Sing it, church, sing it. Angel, play quietly. I want to talk to some of you that is still inside of that seat. There is a battle going on with you right now. You're facing anxiety. You have worries. You're facing that and you're trying to compromise. And the Lord is knocking at your door. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at your door and I'm knocking. If any man will hear my voice and open that door," he said, "I'm going to come in. I'm going to come in." If you don't open that door, he can't come in. He is looking for somebody this morning that recognizes where they're at. If you are that individual, I want you to leave that place where you're at and come down to this altar this morning. Forget about who's watching you. Forget about Tom, Dick, and Harry. Forget about who said, "Oh, he's up there." Listen, this is about you and God. This is about you and God. This is about your life. The Lord is speaking to you this morning. The Lord is saying, today, now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the answer. And the angel going to play, sing that song one more time. I'm going to wait for you 2 minutes. There is still time for you to receive that healing, that frustration, that loneliness, whatever facing you this morning. You are my hiding place. Lift your hands all over this place. Yes, I will trust in you, Lord.
I will trust in you. Let the weak say, "I am strong in the strength."
Father, you see your children this morning, your daughter, your son, with anxiety and worries. Lord, you know the battle, oh God, that they're facing today. Everyone that is on this altar, oh Father. Your word said you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Lord, you showed up in that second, in that present. You showed up when everything shut down. You showed up, oh Father, when it looks like it's a dead situation, Father. You showed up. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you will touch every single person on this altar. Every one of them that is here this morning. Lord, that you will minister to them like never before. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. I feel in my heart and my spirit that there is going to be victory and liberty at this altar. Revival, we heard it earlier today. I want you to say, "Dear Lord, I come before you. I realize I can't help myself. I try to help myself, but I fail. Lord, I submit this thing to your altar. Because you said, come unto me, all of you who are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." And so, Father, I thank you for taking care of my situation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord praise in the house. Hallelujah.
Oh, come on, church. You can do better than that. Come on. Is he worthy of praise? Is he worthy of glory? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah to God.